Our high school guidance counselor used to ask us what you would do if you had $1 million, didn't have to work. And then invariably, whatever you'd say, that was supposed to be your career. So if you wanted to fix old cars, then you're supposed to be an auto mechanic.
So what did you say?
I never had an answer. I guess that's why I'm working at Inatech.
No, you're working at Inatech because that question is bullshit to begin with. If everyone listened to her, there'd be no janitors because no one would clean up if they had $1 million.
If I had $1 million. If I had $1 million.
Talking about millions of dollars.
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
We're living in a material world and I am a material girl. Or boy.
Well, what about you now? What would you do?
Besides two chicks at the same time?
Well, yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing, huh?
I would relax. I would sit on my ass all day. I would do nothing.
Well, you don't need $1 million to do nothing, man. Take a look at my cousin. He's broke, don't do
If I had $1 million. If I had $1 million.
Well, and welcome back to Dr. Jax. I'm Tom Howell. He's Jay-Z on the board, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed as always at this hour. Right, Jay-Z?
Yeah, I mean, if you speak it into the universe.
Not exactly. The S&P futures, I'll get those up here. I'm trying to get our yield curve going here at the same time. S&P futures down 27, Dow futures down 247, NASDAQ futures down 81. So we're going back on a lot of the stuff that we were up yesterday. We're still not down as much as we were up, but we now have issues going the other way. So it's one of those trading things. Kevin, how are you? Are you keeping up on all this stuff?
Am I keeping up on all of the economic news?
Yes.
No, I'm avoiding it as much as I can.
What is that? You've got millions of dollars in your IRA and stuff.
If you did try and follow this and be in any way predictive, what would you do?
Well, somewhat of a shameless plug, even though we really didn't get a chance yesterday because it never came back the other way enough. If you haven't,
you didn't get a chance. There's always a chance for a shameless plug.
Well, no, I'm talking about last week when we were way down, in our protected program, we have puts on for everybody's position, so we're always protected, at a cost. But we're trying to lay the cost with the call positions. But last week when it was way down, we were able to roll our puts down, and on the way up, I think we were able to roll them up. And it didn't go back down enough on Monday for us to do it again. So I'm a little miffed about that. But if you have a position that's hedged, probably you got a chance to trade the hedge in the last week or two. So even though you have a position that you don't really, the design of it is not having to watch it. The reality of it is, when you make those kinds of moves, it's not the same position that you would have put on the day before. So you end up having to do something. But the problem is, not the problem, the good news is the something is good. You get longer when it's down and you get shorter when it's up. But I was doing the show yesterday, Kevin, and I'm very rarely somewhat, once in a while I get to be a little clairvoyant. What is it? If you say something every day and make a prediction, once in a while it comes true. As they used to say on the floor, even a blind squirrel finds an acorn every now and then. So yesterday I was talking about, the market looked lousy, has looked lousy, with the debt overload, the Argentinian situation, the Italian banks that can't even get in the newspaper because, nobody cares about those guys, even though that would have been front page news 5 years ago. A lot of bad stuff is starting to happen, which sometimes becomes a buying opportunity, and sometimes, it's the train, the light at the end of the tunnel. And you never really know, so I don't even try and predict that. But I said the issue this time is we've got this presidential maneuvering in the market, intentionally or unintentionally, I honestly don't know. You have to be very aware that even though I was a little sour on the market and would like to have written my calls close to the strike, I've been giving myself all kinds of room. Because on any given day, the guy could mess with his tariff things and the market could move 2% or 3% or 4%. Look, I don't think I was done with the show 20 minutes. I start seeing the S&P start to creep, and all of a sudden they blast up. And, of course, somebody front-run it. Somebody knew beforehand, as usual, it seems. And then all of a sudden we're pushing the 10% tariff out to December instead of September to help people at Christmas. And, of course, we're up 2-3%. And And I'm wondering, why is Apple up like almost, it was over $10 at one point? Well, it turns out later in the day, and you know, this is, it borders on the, part of it is predictable, Kevin, and part of it is friggin' sickening. They get this guy on from Las Vegas, and evidently in Las Vegas this week there's a 90,000 person show that, you know, I never even heard of. It must have to do with retail stuff, you know, apparel and shoes and bags and backpacks and all that kind of crap. And, you know, I don't even own a backpack, so it's not like it's my idea of a show, but the thing is, the guy gets on there and he says, we started the day, everybody is giddy, because the presidential tweet, or whatever it was, the announcement, it wasn't really a tweet, it was Mnuchin on the phone with the guy to China, says that the tariffs being delayed. He says, but the more you read the fine print during the day, said it's so narrow, it's only a couple of places, we figure 77% of the people in our convention are still going to be affected. And it's only, Apple obviously got to the Oval Office because they were given the, thrown a complete bone. That's why Apple was up at the end of the day $8. You know, obviously, because they took phones off it and some other electronics, things that Trump said, well, that's what people like want for Christmas. All the other stuff these other guys are trying to sell. And the guy goes on, it's this little old guy, but he was on a rant. And, you know, I can't believe they let him go on CNBC. He goes, and you know what? We got a president that's telling everybody the Chinese are paying a tariff. There's guys in this convention that are going today to the bank to borrow money to pay for the tariff bill and the stuff that just showed up from China. And we got basically a buffoon in the White House telling people the Chinese are paying it, or my friends are going to the bank to check for the dough. You know, I mean, so that's how I finished my afternoon. But the market finished obviously very strong. Now today we're the other way. I mean, but Kevin, this is not right. I mean, up or down. Let's say it's not normal. And I don't know that it's the long-term view of trading markets. Because then you've got the people who give you the old-school stuff. Don't worry, it's just another long-term capital. It's just another lightning warning on the golf course. And we haven't had a strike of lightning here in 25 years. Don't worry about it. Don't even look. And then you're going to get that advice. And anybody who thinks this situation remotely... you know, tracks up the long-term capital or the Argentinian thing last time or whatever. Kevin, they're all different, and you never know how they're going to come out. And I'm very careful never to say, you know, don't worry, go on out, the lightning will not strike this time, because I don't know. I've been there a couple of times when the lightning did strike, and maybe these other people just weren't there when it did. I don't know, or whether they're being... I doubt if they're being disingenuous. They just weren't there when it did, I guess. I don't know. Help me here.
Well, I don't know if I can. I don't know if I really have anything to add to that. I'll just say this: it is definitely somewhere between unusual and weird times. You know, it's just what we're doing. I don't recall ever seeing anything like this before.
No, even to somebody who's not pinned in on the market all the time, this is a little strange.
So I guess we'll just see how it plays, how things play out.
Well, yeah,
what else is there to do? I mean, yes, you have to manage money for your clients, so that's a little bit different mission. But for most of us, it's, you know, sit back, observe, see what happens.
Well, the hard part is 95% of the investment world is just sticking with their stuff. And if we go back 40%, they're just going to do the total U-turn. Yet, I don't know enough about the future to say, you need to buy puts, or you should sell off half your stuff. I don't know that, Kevin. Nobody does. But I also know that if people are, when I talked to somebody 2-3 weeks ago, and a guy had, still working, but he's nearing retirement age, you know, he's pushing the 65, and he said his 401k's got, you know, whatever, I'm gonna say, close to seven figures, you know, 950, something like that. He says there's no way to protect anything in here. All they're either going to be in cash or in bonds, or you know, five or six long positions, either long, you know balls out long in your high tech or whatever. He says, I don't really know what to do. I mean, I'm just feeling really nervous. I said, you know, if you're feeling nervous, of course, all of it is in, you know, the high growth, you know, you name it, funds. I said, if you feel nervous and you can't protect it with any kind of puts or anything, which you can't, So just take $300,000-$400,000 out for a while. Well, why would I do that? Because they're not making it. I said, I'm not making an investment decision for you. I'm just telling you that based on what you told me, you are nervous. And
you can make yourself less nervous.
You can't. You have no other alternative but to go to cash. That would not be my first choice if I was managing your money. I would have other alternatives for you that you may or may not want, okay? Because obviously anything you do costs. So, but in your situation, you know, it's really bizarre, Kevin. What I've learned when I talk to people over the years doing this is I never make it my decision because I'm not the one who's nervous about it. They are. So if, you know, if your mom was still alive and she comes over and she says, I've got 5 million shares of Apple. It's all I've got. I'm a little worried about Apple up here. What should I do? And I'd say, well, you have a signature concentration issue. You either should lighten up on the Apple. You don't want me to sell my Apple. I didn't say sell your Apple. You came in the door and said you were nervous because you had so much Apple. I'm just repeating what you said to me. You're nervous about your Apple. Well, yeah, it doesn't mean I want to sell it. Okay, now we're at step two. We can protect it. Well, how can I do that? Well, if you get a little protection by selling some calls against it, but very little. Even if we sell calls for $8, if the stock goes down 20, we're still down 12, right? God help us if it goes down 80. Or we can buy puts, which of course you got to pay for. Well, I don't want to pay for them. Why should I do that? It never goes down. Okay, so you're very nervous about your Apple. You don't want to sell any, and you don't want to buy protection. Where does that sort of leave us? You know, I mean, there are not a whole lot of choices here, Kevin.
It means you can't help her.
It really means I can't help her. It's like, you know, I'm really worried about being ice or snow on the roads today. And by the way, I don't have any collision insurance on my car. But I don't want to buy it.
Here's how you help. Here's how you can help. If she's nervous, you just kind of look at her straight in the eye and say, there.
Yeah. But what people really
want... Otherwise, there really is no help to...
what they really want you to do is because...
Unless you want to be helped,
well,
you know, and...
But the
and you can go all airplane on her, but, you know, go...
No.
Go to your Barbara Billingsley mode, but... you know, otherwise, you know, I get it. There's no profession where you don't get all these mixed messages, but it's got to be a pain in the neck for you.
Well, what they really want are assurances from you, who's supposed to know something, that their stock is really okay. That's really what they want. I mean,
okay. So yeah, affirmation. Don't we all want that?
We were on a show, John Neal. His stepfather was still alive. He was on this business talk show in Arizona every Friday night. This is years ago. So one Friday I'm out there and he said, hey, come on a show with me. Well, he's on with another guy who's a technical guy, allegedly, or fundamental, a stock guy. I mean, he knows all about stocks, whatever the hell that means. And, cause I've been in the business my entire life and I would never hold myself up as, hey, what do you think about XYZ? Oh, love XYZ. You know, I mean, I would never have done that. It doesn't matter whether I have licenses or not. I would never do that because I have no idea about IBM, Apple, too high, too low. I mean, don't ask me those questions because I don't know. I mean, I know where the market price is, and I know how to help you out if you want to hedge it. That's what I know. So this other guy was very popular, way more so than John's father-in-law, to be blunt, or me. And the phones light up. There's like 20 people waiting to call in. And I go, what do those people want? Sure enough, the guy's name was, you know, Jim something something. Hey, question for Jim. Hey, Jim's here. Yeah, right. What's the question? What do you think about Northern Tissue? You know, oh, I love Northern Tissue. It's great. I think it's 40. I got a target of 55. And see you, Joe. Have a good day. And everybody's like, what? There had to be 50 people that called in, and every one of these got a target, $10 over. It's exactly what every one of them. It was most popular show in the valley. And what was it? Nothing. What did it do for anybody? Zero. Right?
Well, you know what? It sounds like people calling in before the NFL draft saying,
yeah,
what do you think about this guy?
Yeah. Well, anyway, Kevin,
except that there are people that follow all the players in the NFL draft. I guess that's what, you know, I guess that's what the guy did for a living, huh?
Yeah. Well, and I bet everybody read his newsletter because all he was bullish on everything. You know, so, you know, you're going to read everywhere today that yield curve is inverted. It's a huge sign of a recession and blah, blah, blah. That's one of the reasons why we're down heavy this morning. Well, not down as heavy as we were up yesterday, but I have to believe Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday combined right now, we're probably down. That's after a massive up day yesterday, which is very hard to believe. So just so you know, if you listen to this show, you might actually have a fact rolling around. Kevin, check out these numbers. This is really bizarre. This is the yield curve. By the way, you go to U.S. Daily Treasury yield curve rates. Every day they have them on here. This is for the 13th, August. 1 month, 2.05. 2 months, 2.04. So this means I actually have an interview with somebody this week. Won't go into details, but somebody has a lot of money for a charity that they just got. And, I mean, literally, Kevin, if we want to keep this in cash, I'm going to take the money and I'm going to hustle over to the Fed and I'm going to get the 2 month auction. You know, what else can I do? I mean, because it's 2.04. 3 months starts to go down. 6 month, 1.96. 1 year, 1.86. 2 year, 1.66. 3 year, 1.6. 5 year, 1.57. Kevin, you believe that? So if you give somebody your money for 5 years, you get 1.5. That starts to creep up just a hair. 7 year, 1.62. 10 year, 1.68. 20 year, 1.94. So you have to get to the 30-year to have it above the 1 month. So I guess it's inverted if you go out to 10, but if you go out to 30, it's got this the deep smiley face going. I don't think I've ever seen that. There was something like that in the early 80s when the 1 month was, you know, 12% or 15%, and it was like 11% going out. But that was coming from a totally different direction, where we started to think that Volcker stuff was going to work in the long run and not in the short term yet. That was a totally different brand of ball. But this is, like right now, if I was going to put money to work for somebody who wanted it in cash, I don't do it. My brother does. We basically, through RBC, you know, hustle our ass over to the Treasury and we get the auction every Tuesday. At least you get 2.04 for 2 months, and who knows what the world's going to look like 2 months from now. The other stuff might be back up. Who knows? I mean, or you might want to be in stock. Market might be down. You might want to invest it, but at least you can park it somewhere for 60 days. I mean, we're talking about the choices are getting a little light here, Kevin, shall we say?
Yeah. How does that, you know, how do those rates in general get set? I mean,
totally by auction.
What would cause the phenomenon?
Totally by auction of the bills. Bills, you don't get any. You probably know this, but the listeners don't. A bill, you don't get any interest payment. When you go and buy the 2 month bill, if it's a $1,000 bill, you're going to pay like $999 something something. So when you get the check back, it's $1,000. So the discount is the interest. Well, now when you go buy a 30-year bond, you're actually going to get an interest check every quarter, I guess. Never bought one, but quarter a year later, I'm guessing quarter. So there's actually a coupon rate that they pay. But your near-term stuff up to a year, the bills, there's no interest on that. You just buy it at a discount. And if you go through the math, the discount is 2.04 for 12 years divided, or for 12 months divided by 6 gives you the 2 months, right? So if you're going to get...
Okay.
If you're going to get 2%, 2.04 for the year, if it was a one-year bill, you'd pay it for a 2% under $1,000. So you'd pay, $998 for it, correct? So if it's you've got to divide that by 6, you're paying, $999 something something, which backs into the 2.04% for 12 months. Did I do that in a way where anybody could understand that or no?
Say it one more time.
If you're going to sell me a bill, okay, I'd pay you like 99 cents, okay, 99.2 cents for the 2 months, and then at the end of the 2 months, you give me the dollar. It's not like you ever give me an interest payment. I only pay you initially a discounted rate on the dollar, And that dollar, based on the discount, that's the interest rate.
Okay.
So either there's no, you're never going to get a check from the government for that. But now on a 30-year bond, you will. So that's the difference between a bill and a note and a bond. So anyway, but you can actually go to the auction and get it as an individual. You know, you got to be over. I'm not positive. It's a Dan question. President of PTI. I think it's got to be over like 25 grand to go to the auction. Maybe it's 50, something like that. But you know, we'll do it for somebody. Like I say, right now, I mean, I sure as hell am not going to put your money in 5 years for 1.57. Am I? You know, I'll roll with 2.04 for 2 months and see what happens at the end of 2 months. What kind of world could look totally different?
Gotcha.
Okay. Well, yeah. What do you?
I see what you're saying here.
But I mean, the idea that people are, and it's somewhat disingenuous, Kevin. Like I said, I was listening to David Faber, who actually is one of the brightest guys on CNBC. I've liked him for a long time. He was at a table of five people, and he's asking, who is investing at negative interest rates? And really, nobody had an answer. And it's interesting, Kevin, how people are in the know. You're not going to get me on national TV because if I don't know the answer, I'll just say it. I don't know. But by the way, tomorrow I'll find out, or I'll call you, or I'll call somebody. And I'll try and find out. But people act like they know something when they don't, you know. And he was going around the table and he said, "Well, how do they get this way?" And somebody was, you know, one of the ladies, could be one of the guys, it don't really matter. And she says, "Well, you know, obviously people are afraid of the security of their money and they want it like secure." And I'm going, They want what? I mean, what are you talking about? They'll
take a guaranteed small loss so that they don't get a guaranteed big loss.
Evidently,
so they don't get a big loss.
Yeah,
is that what they're saying?
Yeah, yeah. But the real answer, as dumb as it sounds, the real answer is because people are investing in it because they think government is dumb enough to pay more. I mean, you and I, we say we don't know anything about old cars, but we see this car and it looks to us like, yeah, I don't know what that thing's worth. If we know for sure some moron is going to come and pay $9,000 for it, and somebody's offering it for $7,000, even you and I will pay $8,000, right? If we know the other guy's committed at $9,000, right? It sounds really dumb, but that's the South Side explanation. You know Draghi's going to pay up for it. If Draghi's not there, nobody's paying minus 0.5 interest rate, knowing that the other guy is going to buy it at a price where it's minus 0.55. I mean, if the central bank wasn't considered dumb enough or stupid enough or whatever, policy enough to do it, why would anybody pay somebody more than they're ever going to get back from them?
They wouldn't.
No, you wouldn't.
Not on purpose.
No, not on purpose. So it's there's so much stuff going on, Kevin, it's hard to even explain it all. I mean, the 15% drop in the Argentinian peso in one day, that's a horrendous thing for some country. And yet I'll bet all the big guys down there had their scratch offshore. It didn't hurt them at all. Matter of fact, they're now richer.
I was talking to a banker yesterday, and I did not get to ask her, it was at an event. We announced a new chancellor yesterday, so which is good. I think we hired somebody good.
Are you the person? Were you in the running?
No. First of all, would I have ever been in the running? No.
No.
Did I apply? No.
What was it? Was it Lyndon Johnson? If nominated, I will not run. If elected, I will not serve, or something along those lines?
That's it. Plus, you know, I don't have a PhD or any of that stuff, so it's...
You can get one easy enough.
I'm sure I can. If Saul Goodman can get his law degree from the University of American Samoa, I'm sure I can get a PhD from there.
Yeah, but he has to go... If he wants to do anything, he's still got to pass the bar, which if you don't have much of a law degree, that would be kind of tough. One would think.
Well, I suppose. At any rate, but you could study really hard for the bar.
Yeah, well, I suppose.
Hey, I got, you know, hey, I'm credentialed now. I have logistics certification, so I did get that this summer.
Is that a PhD in logistics?
No. I'm just a certified logistics technician now.
Who gets
which qualifies me to teach MSSC's course?
Who gets to certify you?
MSSC, a manufacturing organization.
Well, 20 years ago, my brother, Dan and Dr. J were down in Mexico, and they had to give a test for this new exchange, this futures exchange, and I said, well, those guys don't even have a test. Of course, Dr. J and Dan said they do now. S&P futures down 26. Dow futures down 251. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Socks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howie, Mr. Kevin O'Neill, EJZ on the board. S&P futures down 28.50, NASDAQ futures down 82. So we're a sizable chunk of what we made yesterday. And if you look at where the spiders are trading right now, which is S&P 500 ETF, 290.12, just for perspective, they closed Friday night at 291.62. So they're down about $1.40 based on what's going on. That's with this huge up day yesterday as well. So kind of crazy stuff. Over in Europe, we've got DAX down 184, 1.6%, whack, whack. FTSE down 75, that's 1%. CAC around down 75, 1.4. In Asia, obviously we've got the issues going in Hong Kong. They're actually up. Nikkei up 199, 1%. Shanghai up 11.4. Hang Seng up 20. We'll call that one flat, but it is actually up. So the main story this morning is the 2-year yield. When the people in the news press tell you about the yield curve inverting, they're looking at the 2-year yield versus the 10-year rate, which I'm not so sure somebody just picked that out. Right now, the 10-year is slightly above the 2-year, as I just mentioned, but it must have dipped below earlier. Now, that's a sign of recession. I don't know that it is down at this level. We've been talking about a potential recession for like a real long time and how people, a good percentage of the population, in my opinion, never came out of the last recession. But these guys want, you know, they don't want to be that rigorous. They just want to give you one number, unfortunately. We've got oil. Oil down $1.09 to $56.01. It was a rally yesterday. Brent down 97 cents, $60.33. Get a load of this. The spread is now $4.32, the lowest I've ever seen it since we've been doing the show. Natural gas actually up 3 cents, 2.17. It bottomed out at 2.12. I wonder if that's going to hold like for the whole winter at 2.12. RBOB 171. Gold is up 590, 1520. Silver up 13 cents, 1711. I tried to put a spread on it silver yesterday. Jay-Z, I think I cheaped out on it. I refused to pay up a penny, and I wish I did. Damn it. Just saying. And again, we've got the bonds. 10-year rate is 1.60. The bund now is minus 0.64. So we're going lower and lower in the negative territory. The Japanese, minus 0.22. These numbers are numbers I would never thought I'd see coming out of school. That was a long time ago. Jay-Z, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
Thanks, Chief. Good morning, everyone. The time is now 6:36. Chicago weather this morning is mostly sunny with a high of 78 and a low of 66. Phoenix is clear and sunny with a high of 112 and a low of 82. In baseball, the White Sox lost to the Astros 6-2. The Cubs lost to the Phillies 4-2. And the Diamondbacks beat the Rockies 9-3. Lastly, in traffic, there was an accident on Lakeshore Drive going north just before Oak Street. Expect minor delays. Nothing else. Back to you.
So, Kevin, we got issues on all topics. By the way, your buddy Beldo claims your man will be back before the Georgia game, certainly by the Michigan game, the tight end who broke his collarbone.
Yeah, we're talking about tight end Cole Kmet for Notre Dame.
Well, evidently, it did not
need
surgery.
Okay, well, that's good news.
Need surgery, though. He's just in a harness, I guess.
Hey, but just to finish off the thought before we got diverted to certifications. I was talking to a banker, and I didn't get to ask her about, you know, are they still doing compensating balances and earnings credits, and how does that work in today's interest rate environment? So
I think that's going away to Dodo Bird.
Doing a little quick browsing at what earnings credits rates, and what this means for listeners is that historically, banks have wanted balances. And so the way they get balances is in exchange for not hard charging for services, you know, things like per deposit, per check, per wire transfer, and so on, that businesses could keep enough compensating balances based on an earnings credit rate, and they get credit for credit towards service charges. And looking at where the rates are now, And that earnings credit rates are like below 1.2%. That you're talking about for $100 worth of service having to keep like $110,000 worth of balance in the bank.
Yeah, it's unreal. It's unreal.
And for a business, $100 worth of service in a given month is nothing.
Well, I mean, what Kevin is talking about, and we should probably take a few minutes on this, Kevin. Even if you had loans from banks, they would require you to say you took a loan for $1 million. They might require you to keep $100,000 in the bank.
It might require you to keep $100,000 in the bank, and get that in exchange for a few points shaved off the rate.
Well, but I mean, if you're talking about a bank that issues, banks would do people's payroll in those days. You know, they issue all those checks and stuff. That's serious money in services.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to look at the complexity of the banking relationship, I mean, I was not in the Treasury Department, but obviously a good friend of mine, Robin, was the assistant treasurer at Pullman. They only had two assistant treasurers and a treasurer in a place that big. And, just by listening in, I learned a lot about the Treasury stuff. And you had at those times, a big company would have 8 to 10 to 12 banks in their credit line. And the banks would always be taking you out to dinner and plays and stuff to try and get to be the one when you need money that you'd call them and get the loan. They competed for those loans, Kevin. I mean, and then you kept the compensating balance. It was good for those guys because not only you paid them interest, there was money there that they could loan out to other people. I mean, the deal worked a lot differently than now. But you're not, I don't think even if you get a loan, the banks are competing with, loan.com, and they're not asking you to compete a compensating balance. I mean, I think if you walked into the bank and you want to borrow, $3 million for accounts receivable at the state of Illinois, and the bank's not going to tell you got to keep a $500,000 here. I think that's gone by the way to dodo bird, as they say.
Yeah, I'm going to have to track down a commercial banker and sort of talk through how all that works nowadays, because I've just been away from it too long.
I think it all doesn't work, to be quite honest. I'd be happy to be proven wrong.
So let me rephrase that. Yeah. I'm going to track down a commercial banker and find out how it doesn't work.
I'll report back to the show. But if it turns out that I'm wrong and half of it's still in place, I'll be pleasantly surprised, to be honest with you.
I'm just looking at a couple of websites, browsing around, based on the search. I was looking during the break after I walked the dog and fed her, a lot of the fee structures are in place. The ability to pay with compensating balances is still in place. I'm just wondering why anybody would do it at the rates that we're charging, unless you just are swimming in cash and you don't want to pay any fees.
The whole idea that the subject I want to get to is what Carl brought up the other day, but he kind of jumped that on me a little bit, and then I went and read all his stuff after the show. If you take a trail and you listen to you, and you listen to me a little bit on my side, you listen to Carl, and you listen to Wayne. And a couple other people we've had on here, Eric, who actually kind of started he's very good with words, started the words. There's a trail here, Kevin, that is pretty insidious. I don't know if you remember, there was a, Star Trek episode where, they were way the hell out in deep space forever, and so they meet up with this guy, who was a friend of Picard's, and he's, captain of another starship, and he says, you haven't been essentially home for a while, but something weird's going on. The leadership is this and that, and people are being transferred, and people are disappearing, and blah, blah, blah. And he said, be careful. So they went back. They had the ability to look at, like, every order that was sent out for the last, personnel change and whatever for, like, the last 2 years since they had essentially been home. But because they had data, the computer guy, the android. They said, we have somebody who said uniquely qualified to essentially process all this stuff. How many million bits of paper, in a couple of hours and come up with a conclusion. So data kind of wanders off in the corner, plugs himself into the computer where all the orders and this and that and the other thing are going by, and he comes back and he goes, Captain, there's a real problem. There is a pattern here if we go back, you better be prepared to what you might find, type of thing. And of course, some guys had taken over the central command and the whole stuff. And of course, the Enterprise saves the day. But if you were to take all the stuff that Carl's talking about, he says the idea of the HV1 stuff is nothing more than a plan on somebody's part to lower the competitiveness of high end employees in this country. Just as sending factory work overseas is a way to essentially lower the competitive strength of the of the worker, the factory worker in this country. If you take all this together, and Eric was the first guy who really brought it up. He said this managerial class, that they don't own anything. Well, they do because through stock options. They never were part of starting these businesses, and now they run everything at prices that you can't even consider to justify. But because things are not competitive, and yet everybody working for them on one end, on the low end, you can't pay them anything because you can find some Mexican or some Chinese guy to do it for cheaper, allegedly. Or even on the upper level, your research people and your new hirees on that level aren't getting the salaries that a PhD should command. I mean, if you look at the whole thing, and you look at the lack of dividends, and all people do is buy stock back, which only benefits the people that are in that managerial class. And even yesterday's tariff announcement, somehow the biggest companies, Apple, got to the president or somebody, and they got pulled off this tariff list when all the other people, small companies like you and I, are an importer of clothes for, you know, Kevin and Chief's sporting outfit store. We don't get any help. If you take all this together, Kevin.
Sporting outfit for the larger man.
Yeah, but, oh yeah. what was the Roddy's, the big and stout? The S&P futures now down 38.50. Wow. And NASDAQ futures down 112. We're leaking here pretty bad. We'll be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jacks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Holly. He's Mr. Kevin O'Neill. He's Jay-Z on the board. Kevin, your man is here. Russell Rhodes, he's in the studio early drinking.
Russell's in the house. What kind of sweater on a muggy day like today?
I know. I'm already sweating in my pits.
But he's without the sweater.
So I actually just got, I know fall is around the corner because Amazon did just send me an ad to buy cardigans.
All right.
So.
Well, if you buy the good ones, they got to last a while. Perry Como's lasted forever, you know.
Yes, they did.
That's what I hear. S&P futures, this is unreal. Down 37. We're up 42 yesterday. So we're almost giving it all back. You can knock me over the feather seeing this morning. NASDAQ futures down 107. Individual stocks, Apple down 350, but it was up 9 yesterday. So they actually are a beneficiary of this. Other companies, not so much. Boeing down 3. Caterpillar down 261. Goldman Sachs down 5. Why? They've been getting hit, guys. Do we think that they got some issues either with these dollar-denominated debt in China, or they got a problem in Argentina? Or just in general, they figured they must have a problem someplace, right? It's hard to tell what these guys are involved in. Matter of fact, it's very difficult. Very strange. We were talking before you came in, Russell. Mm-hmm. People have been kind of pushing this thread through the show. It's almost, there's like a man behind the curtain that's seemingly screwing the American, not only the American worker at every level, but really the American investor. And the people that are in charge now is this, quote, managerial class that aren't the founders of companies anymore. They're shareholders, but they really don't get their much money. I mean, they're shareholders enough to where it's all buy stock back instead of dividends. And I don't know, Kevin, do you think that in the end of the day, I mean, the combinations you and I talk about, you guys are obviously in education. I mean, we're all over the Chinese, but we're not telling them they can't send people anymore to get their PhDs and pay more than our guys and shut our guys out of the schools. I mean, there's a lot of places we're not going with this. And yet, we're insulting the hell out of them in other places. How do you determine? It's even like...
Isn't it great? one of the great leadership principles is that there's a guiding vision to everything. I'm not just picking on Trump for this. It kind of goes to leadership in general. Do you really feel like you know where everything is leading? And when's the last time you did? You know, just from a managing the United States standpoint, the U.S. government, whether it be a party's leadership, whether it be a president's leadership, whether it be general direction of the company, the country. When's the last time you really felt like there was kind of this cohesive direction that we were headed?
It's almost like a company that seems to be managing from quarter to quarter, and they don't, you know, to hit numbers, and eventually something really bad's going to catch up with them.
Yeah,
I know exactly what you mean, but I think on the drive in, I was thinking about this, that it's you know, in order to make sure everything runs cohesively, we're supposed to have monetary and fiscal policy, and the monetary policy guys are still. You can argue, but whether you agree or not with what they're doing, they're still kind of got a long-term plan there. They got a dot plot that goes out past the next election. The fiscal guys are not holding up their end of the bargain, and it's not just here. I think it's all over the world.
And why do you say that?
Why do I say that the fiscal guys are not?
Just because,
why is Congress not?
Just because all the people on TV say that, I'm curious as to why. A professor would say that.
If you look at basically how things are run on the fiscal side, for one thing, anytime they pass a bill, they add a few billion dollars worth of you know, pork stuff that really is not necessarily needed, that's not good for the long term for everybody. But beyond that, just take a look at the debt that they've been able to accumulate under both sides of the aisle.
All right, just so you know, I'm not criticizing, not pushing back yet. You'll have your hour for that.
You want me here for the second hour?
Yeah, you'll have your hour for that.
Yeah.
but what you just said is, if you were to go on national TV and say that, you are saying exactly the opposite of what other people are saying when they say they've got no help from the fiscal side. Exactly the opposite.
Well, I think they have short-term help from the fiscal side, but you know, I think what Kevin and I are both thinking about is a much longer-term time frame.
No, all right, you're missing my
point.
Yeah,
so this is the, you know, when you talk about a vision, yes, it is something that shapes you, you know, over the long haul. It becomes guiding principle. Of course, we're not going to have a whole lot of guiding principle right now, one, because that would require principle, but aside from that, it's, you know, we're kind of, you know, in the political sense, we're debating what those principles actually are and should be.
Did you guys ever...
So it's that's part of up in the air, but, you know, you take it farther, once... If there's any kind of agreement on what that principle is, then it's incumbent on the leader to keep explaining why each move you make, down, you know, as you go, is fits into that context. And that's, you know, that's something that is terribly missing. It's time consuming. It's hard to do that, but it's necessary.
Kevin, did you, either one of you gentlemen, ever go into a Sam's Club like years and years ago when they first opened?
Oh yeah, yeah.
What do you remember from there? By the way, that isn't there anymore.
I remember lots. I just remember pallets of stuff. That's all I remember.
Well, you remember, when they opened, they were a significant portion of their business was in small businesses, and that's why they're not doing as well as Costco, because they were like a wholesale house
I co-owned a restaurant a long, long time ago, and we'd get everything from Sam's.
But I've been up on the wall. They must have had a Kevin O'Neill working there, because there would be the stock price, the current stock price, and it would say, where this stock price goes tomorrow depends on you. It was like two Sam's employees. And below it was like four items, just what Kevin was talking about. Our mission is to provide our clients with the highest quality products at the cheapest possible prices so they can run their business in their home, or something along those lines. And then it was, the customer is always right. If there's a return issue, the product does not measure up, the customer is always right. And like number four was, if you're unclear what four is, read three again, or something like that. But there were like four things up there that made absolutely perfect common sense and defined their business pretty much totally, Kevin, which is exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, and I think Walmart, you know, the Walmart organization is still pretty good in that regard. Whatever else you think of Walmart, you know, they exist to provide inexpensive products. And I think they generally live up to that. Whether you like the way they get there, you know, there's a lot of people that don't, but that's not really the point. Their reason to exist is pretty clear, and they do it. And some businesses are really good at that, and other businesses are not. But then if you take it to the national level, I don't think we're good at it at all.
Well, just real quick on those two guys, I think when they started, they almost had the Home Depot model where everybody in the place was going to be shareholders. And obviously the place has become so big that's... And if you travel back 20 years and you see some old duffer in the electrical aisle, he might have come up from Georgia, and the guy might have been a millionaire, because he had original Home Depot stock. And I think the original people in Walmart's, that was part of the plan, is even though the salaries weren't that high, that I think people would be shareholders. But probably that's rare enough now that they've pulled the shareholder sign off the wall, and I'm sure that's probably why it came down. But go on, Kevin, talking about the federal, I mean, but ideally, if you're the manager, the rest of the people, I think we are going with this, not that you can't talk for yourself, is that if Kevin's not there, if Kevin's off fishing in Canada, I should know that based on this decision, here's how Kevin would want me to decide. Either the very moral side, the very immoral side, whatever it happens to be, you would have a pattern of decision-making that people would know what your next call would be.
That's part of it, and part of it is that it's just really, really important as you... drive by those principles. Actually, Mitt Romney was really good at enunciating this. Whatever your principles are, you live them and you expect other people to. But it's the time-consuming process of explaining why the next decision fits into the context of where you're going with everything. And that's, you know, that's the part that gets forgotten most of the time in leadership. And, you know, I clearly think it's forgotten in government.
Well,
you know,
I think it's...
And without it, decisions that are made look like a random series of unrelated events. And they may very well be. But but they might not be, and it just looks that way because you don't take the time to explain it.
You got to hope that they're just not being explained, but that hope is difficult to hang on to.
Yep.
It sure is. Kevin, talk to you again on Friday. We'll have to maybe do a little bit of a college football, assuming the world cools down a little bit by then, which is an odd assumption. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about who's...
And you're also assuming I'm paying attention by now. Pretty soon I will.
All right, we'll give it another week, but I just assume that Georgia and Alabama will be the two best teams again, them and Clemson. That's the way it seems to work out. S&P futures down 39.50 now. That's unreal. NASDAQ futures down 112. Make that 40 on the futures. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we are also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. It's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's JOHN@PTISecurities.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Well, on North Bay Stocks and Jocks, I'm Tom Howell. Mr. Russell Rhodes hopping back in his seat. SP futures down 39. Yeah, 39. NASDAQ futures down 111. So let's get this straight. Last night, the night before, we could have bought futures down $3, actually down 10 during the show. They traded up 45 or something like that. Maybe
yeah, 40 30. Or so.
So that's a simple, that's yeah. a 60 point move. So let's
and
see.
And then you reversed it on the close.
At 250 a point.
Uh-huh.
That's
well, 50 a point. People don't trade the big one.
Well, yeah, but for purposes of the show, we're trading the big ones, you and I.
Okay.
We got the big ones going, you know.
I'm trading the micros.
All right, well, see one of those.
Which is $5.
So what's 250 times
40? 60?
Well, 60 from 15, below the high.
15,000?
Yeah, so then you sell that one out on the close and go short one, and now you're up another 40, say.
Yeah.
This is on a one line.
I can pay half of my kids' tuition this school year.
Yeah, on a one line.
On a one line.
If only you knew what was coming out of the Oval Office.
Mm-hmm.
Although I don't think this turnaround was from the Oval Office.
No, I think Scaramucci did, and he got cut off, and that's what the real rift is between those two guys.
That could be. Anyway, you know, I think we can get him on the show one of these days. He's a friend of Dr. J's. So I bet he.
Oh, I'm sure.
Well, I bet we. Get, I mean, he'll take.
They're joined at the hip these days.
Well, we'll do the. We'll have him on, and we'll ask him, and mm-hmm. I'll bet he'll be an interesting guest.
Do we have a 5 second delay, and Jay-Z has her finger on the bleep button?
Actually, we have an 8 second delay.
Oh, do we? Okay.
Yeah. That's an expensive machine, by the way.
Yeah.
But now, I shouldn't say this on the air, but if you ever wanted to be a total bleep on a show on the air, like, and you want to go in and you know, say some bad words and
yeah.
We had somebody...
Never be invited back.
We had somebody do that once on the score, when Jen and I were on the score.
Uh-huh.
They produced that from there, not from here. So we just tied into their place, right?
Yeah.
And so we had a producer on that end who allegedly had the drop button. Well, one morning, our guy Cyrus, who was our producer, goes, John and Chief, this guy wants to call. He's called in. He wants to talk about the S&P 500. We go, okay. So the guy comes down. He says, I said I want to talk about the S&P 500s, but... I really didn't, and he starts dropping the N-word and the J-word.
Oh, my
and,
goodness.
Yeah, and Jen and I were totally powerless. I don't know where the hell Cyrus went. He must have gone to the can or something.
Turn him off!
But the weird part was, the guy was talking so fast, he, like, talked himself out. He was out of breath after, like, 4 seconds.
He was nervous before he got started.
Yeah, before he got started. So then,
like I am.
So, of course, we go over to the club, and everybody over there was cheered. We got our first, like, really... But evidently, my cousin's significant other was on a Minnesota show with some guy who was pretty controversial. This is years and years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And she said they would have to bleep people, you know, 4 or 5 times a show. I mean, she says you couldn't even go to the bathroom when the show was on. I mean, you better make sure.
The call-in people?
Yeah, she said because they would constantly be doing that. But if you want to be sneaky,
uh-huh.
I shouldn't say this, but if you want to be sneaky,
mm-hmm.
once you dump it,
uh-huh.
it's like whatever you can set the delay, 5, 6, 7, 8, we have it at 8. If Maddie were to dump it, which you don't have to do for a podcast anyway, but if he were to dump it, if they let you back on and then you start talking again, it's not delayed until the 8 seconds are up.
Okay.
So you could actually,
if you knew
the system.
You could sneak something in there.
You could sneak something in there.
You gotta do it twice and hope they don't hang up on
right,
you.
Right, right.
Okay.
But anyway, more than anybody needs to know, but our producers, Jay-Z, is way too good to let that one slide by her, aren't you, Jay-Z?
Well, people at home don't know this, but I just tried it, and she got me.
Yeah, she got you.
Yeah. Nobody will ever hear that.
Well, yeah, I mean, everybody... you don't have a... The thing is, you can't have a delay, like on a Major League Baseball radio, because you're calling the game, you know. And well, the other guys, the TV guys are so delayed anyway. I don't know how that works. Because that's probably good. Matter of fact, there's this radio came out.
But it
has a delay on it. So when you listen to the Bears, say, if you want to listen to, you know, Tom Thayer and Jeff Joniak instead of the clowns they have on, you know, might have on in the national.
Do you know how many people do that?
Well, not very many.
No. I think just about everybody I know that watches the Bears actually does that.
I'm gonna say that you can't do that. If you
it's a little irritating because there's an offset. I know what you're talking about.
But it's a serious offset.
Yeah.
The only way you can do it mm-hmm. is if you have an antenna where you pick the bears up on live TV.
Yeah, because I know there's the delay, but we do it at the Rhodes household.
Well, the reason why, I sort of know this, is they first came out with this radio
mm-hmm.
that had delay in the radio. So up to 8 seconds, you turn the radio on, and then you have the TV on, and it wouldn't match. Well, then you would slide the thing up to 8 seconds or wherever it was. And when I first got it, this is, 25 years ago, it was like a 6 or 7 second delay, and you could match up one to the other.
Yeah.
Well, now that radio is no good because I think it's more like 12 now. And the new ones you buy like that, I think, go to 12. But you know what? It's really irritating as hell because you actually paid a bunch of money for the place. Is if you go to one of the sky boxes at Wrigley.
Oh yeah, there's the delay there. Yeah,
I mean you're sitting there. I mean if you're not outside and you're watching the TV. The whole place goes up. The guy's still at the plate. Obviously, somebody hit a home run.
Yeah.
They don't get. But I think in the park,
mm-hmm.
they get the live feed. They get the live feed.
So I used to. It's not as exotic and glamorous as it sounds, but I actually used to have a balcony where I could see everything going on in Wrigley Field except for home plate. I lived in one of those high rises off in the distance, and I could hear I'd have the game on at home, and I could hear the difference.
I
could see, but you could actually.
But I think if you get it off the antenna, I think you still get it pretty much live.
Yeah, it was not off the antenna.
No, you're a cable guy.
I was a cable guy going up 36 floors and all that kind of stuff.
All right, Professor.
So yeah,
we're now down 45.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever seen? I'm gonna make a. I don't know. I guess I'll make a policy statement.
Okay.
I've never seen. There's so much going on if you're in any kind of power situation that it's really difficult to keep your hands on all of it. Matter of fact, it could drive you nuts. You'd be five martinis a day like Roosevelt was.
Mm-hmm.
But I never saw a group of people running this country on both sides, and even the people doing the national TV and critique on a daily basis. I've never seen a group who was so narrowly focused on their policies without any regard or any knowledge, really, of how it affects all the other stuff around them, because no man can do one thing. I mean, I listened to Bannon last Friday night, or not Bannon, who's the other guy? Navarro, same thing. He's so focused on his almost repressive old white guy policies that I never even felt like that. We're going to screw this guy, we're going to screw that guy, and we're going to do this, we're going to do that. By the way, we don't like the Fed. Everything he said has probably 50 repercussions all over the place that they don't seem to either know about or care or in the morning when the president would come in and say, if it was me, I'd say, all right, we're thinking about doing this. You guys over there don't look like you're doing anything. If I did this, come back and tell me this afternoon how I affect like everybody. Is there something here I'm not thinking about? I don't think they even care. Or they don't know. They think that honestly the whole place is run like it's a simple real estate transaction.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'm not accusing people of being immoral or this or anything. I'm just saying it's acting like this is the only thing I'm doing today. But at that level, there's no one thing you can do. I don't think.
Yeah. No, there's absolutely. I mean, everything has a big ripple effect, and I don't think anybody up over in D.C. is playing chess these days.
Well, did you happen to listen? I mentioned earlier
they're all playing checkers.
They had a guest on CNBC. This old dude from Vegas, and evidently there's a 90,000 person convention this week in Vegas. It has to do with must be apparel and shoes and all the. It's a merchandising convention, I guess, of some kind. I don't know. I've never been in that business. And he says that we woke up this morning and everybody's euphoric that the president finally woke up and pushed his tariff off till December. And so it won't affect this Christmas season because people are essentially gagging. Things are slowing down anyway.
Think about the Christmas season. I'm not playing chess either.
And the guy says virtually all your apparel or most of it, all your backpacks, all your shoes, not all, but he's talking, he actually had all the percentages, and I wish I had to photographic memory, but I don't. It was something like 70% of the shoes, you know, 80% of the backpacks are all made essentially in China or parts of them or something like that. And he says, as the day wore on, the news got worse and worse. Mm-hmm. It turns out that, like, by last count, 77% of the people here, their stuff's not getting pushed off. It's very narrow. It's your electronics. He goes, Apple got helped. And a few other big places that obviously have access. My guys, they're coming to this convention. They don't have access. They're not being helped.
Yeah.
I says, and we got a guy who's telling people that the Chinese are paying the tariffs. I can name you people. I won't, but I could. In this convention, they're going to the bank today to borrow money to pay the tariff surcharge on the stuff that they're going to sell at Christmas. And then we got some guy telling us that the Chinese are paying for it. They're paying for it. Why do my guys got to go get a loan to pay the bill? I mean, he goes, what are we doing?
Yeah.
I don't know. There's other ways I think we could put pressure. And if you tie together, we listened to Carl the other day, but he was ranting big time about this HB1 visa thing and how it's lowered the price of people with advanced college degrees because you get to grab people from other countries.
It's spreading
and bring
the cost
them in,
out.
Yeah. And you pay them all the rice they can eat. They can't change, not all the rice they can eat, but you pay them a less wage.
Did you bleep that?
No, but you pay them a less wage than competitive here.
Yeah.
The company owns them. You can't go to another company and demand more, right?
No, you can't. I taught for UIC for a short period of time, and the program that I taught in was, they called it a corporate MBA program. Every single student was from China or Korea. And maybe two out of the 40 that would come over every year would get a job in the U.S., and those two would be worked for two or three years at a pretty low wage and then sent back.
And they couldn't possibly say, well, Microsoft's only paying me X, Google paying me more. They can't ship.
They can't do that. And the way that the visa situation has changed around where it's almost like a lottery and you're not even sure you're going to get one for somebody, nobody wants to promise that. And nobody wants to count on being able to keep somebody or hire somebody that's over here. It's kind of a mess.
Well, Carl claims it's an absolute, whoever put it together absolutely had the agenda of screwing people's wages in this country.
Yeah. I can see that. Or just keeping wages low. How's that instead of...
But why do we allow company after company to buy other companies and the management class ends up with all this power? They really don't care about shareholders to a large extent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you do because your stock price might drop, you know, a week if your earnings aren't so high. But this is real. It's real sinister, I think. I mean, if you look at it from all the different directions, you know, there was a dude on News Radio 78 yesterday who was talking about how the presidents, no matter who they are, all they do is talk about helping small business.
Of course.
And he said
it sounds good.
Well, he said, but nothing screws small business as much as the way we have our interest rates now. Because
mm-hmm.
a small business, if it's you're not my business, we're probably going to having to get our loans either online or paying up at a bank or with a personal guarantee. Yet if we make any progress on anything, somebody above us on the food chain can go to a bank and borrow money at 3% or 4% and buy us out.
Okay.
So everybody ends up being bought out by somebody above them just because of the difference in rates that they can get versus you and me. He says, anybody thinks for a second that this is positive for small businesses out of his friggin' mind.
Well, it's positive for small businesses that want to cash out.
Well, but I mean, you're never going to cash out the price you should cash out at.
Because you're going to, well.
Right.
Don't you have a choice on that one?
Well, okay, but I mean, you can't really grow, or you struggle so long that your family doesn't want you in there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I see it, I have, in a different way. A lot of my clients, I won't say where they're from, nationalities, anything like that. They are in tight with a lot of people, in tight. They know a lot of doctors. They know a lot of people work in hospitals. They do work in that industry a lot. So they're way more in tune than maybe you and I would be at individual companies that are developing drugs and things like that. Rumors, mm-hmm. you know, they hear stuff that's being tested here, tested there, that type of thing. And this is not information that people shouldn't be trading on. It's out there. I mean, if there's a drug trial at Northwestern Hospital, everybody in the hospital knows about it. It's not like it's secret.
Right.
That type of thing. So you know, the, I mean, I'm sure if all of a sudden there was a secret report to the shareholders, I mean, they don't get that. You know, they know the rumors that it's either working or not, that type of thing. So every one of these companies, guys invest in these places. And they say, you know, Jesus, you know, Jay-Z's thing looks like it's working against, you know, hangnails or whatever you want to say. All of a sudden, that company, if it's good and you sit there and go, wow, you know, if that thing actually works against hangnails, look how many people in this country got hangnails. Even if we charge $10 a person to get rid of their hangnails, that's like $90 billion.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, that stock should be worth, you know, could be worth $40.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, one day you have a couple of pretty good trials, and one day the place gets bought out for like $8. And you say,
that's pretty common.
Yeah, and you say, what the bleep, over.
And then whoever bought them out, it really doesn't even move the needle for them because they're so freaking large.
But they'll say, you idiots can never get this through the $500 million or $1 billion it costs for the last FDA test. And oh, by the way, or we'll do a marketing agreement with you and we'll bury the thing. You've empowered the people that are in the business, and everything you say you're going to do for people developing stuff, you've essentially done just the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
And it really doesn't matter who the president is. I mean, Obama talked about it more than anybody. I'm going to say small business got hurt during his administration more than I've ever seen. Now, if you told him that, if he was sitting there, he'd be outraged, probably.
Yeah, but...
But the fact is,
I don't know how much of that... Well...
I don't know how much of it's his fault.
I don't think... Yeah, exactly. I'm not the biggest fan of him, but I do think that's something you can't necessarily blame on him.
No, but...
It was just the general nature of keeping the whole economic system going.
But I think what happens is... When they go through Iowa or wherever the campaign thing is, I will never accuse them. Our system, to a large extent, works.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of, by the time you get in that office, you got enough blue-haired ladies bitching at you in Iowa that you know what the problems are. I mean, when you go into those cafes, I don't think those people hold back. I get the feeling they don't. I mean, I've never been in, you know, a restaurant, a breakfast joint in Iowa when three candidates walk in, but I'm guessing the Iowa people don't hold back.
I'm sure they get the great opportunity.
I think you hear what's going on and wrong with this country. And I think you get to Washington and you don't... I mean, look what happened. Everybody rails on Obamacare.
Mm-hmm.
But during the theory, I think, made sense. Now, Kevin will argue with that a little bit. But in general, I'm a much more rational... Not than Kevin, but... And I think the system before Obamacare was falling apart and something had to happen. Now, I think what happened along the way is that the president and the people around him, as they were putting it together, essentially gave in to the drug companies, the insurance companies, and the hospitals. Right? And,
mm-hmm.
and by doing that, they acquiesced, they let those guys essentially write the bill, and now you got this piece of crap, basically. Where all whatever it is, you got people's prices are triple what they were, or mm-hmm. more. And deductibles are probably five times what they were. So it's been a total disaster in that regard. Now, if you're an insurance company or hospital, it's the best thing to ever happen.
Yeah.
But they're the ones that
were... Not what anybody expected. Yeah.
So now you get Trump in. Okay. And if I wouldn't have been able to weasel out and vote for the third party candidate, if it was strictly Trump versus Hillary, you couldn't get me to vote for Hillary if she was the only name on the thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have voted for him versus her with the hope that because he has certain amount of stones, which he does. Doesn't seem to care what people think about him, which he doesn't. And, well, I think he does in a lot of ways, but I mean, in terms of, if there's one guy who could call out and maybe, right now we're at the point where if you and I got elected, it's not a question of whether we approve of the system. It's the amazing amount of political capital, if it was even possible, for us to turn this prescription drug bus around.
Mm-hmm.
Or the hospital consolidation bus around to where, you know, 70% of the money spent in a hospital isn't even on, it's on offices for people, not even rooms for people. I mean, you look at how a hospital's built now and you look there and go, wait a minute, what kind of hospital is that?
It's
an edifice of something.
It's an office building hospital.
Yeah, it's a, and your overhead is dramatically high. I mean, whatever. So, I mean, it's not a question of you and I not letting it get that way. It's, what do we have to do in the next 4 years to turn this bus around? And I think Trump honestly felt that the prescription drugs area was an absolute abyss and probably feels that today. And they say he doesn't listen to people. I think he tried to spank that industry, and I think he finally said they're too big, and he wandered off to other stuff. And he just said, I can't do anything about it. And I think that's what happens to these guys. I mean, he gave up on Boeing, right? He was going to get rid of Air Force One. He was going to get rid of the F-35. After 3-4 meetings and everybody telling him, you can't fight with Boeing for 4 years. They're too big. He gave up.
Yeah. One of the first things he did, and he did back away, didn't he?
No, but I'm saying, I'm not blaming him for that. I'm saying you and I probably would do the same thing. Because Obama did, Bush did. Well, Bush loved the industrial establishment to start with. So, I mean, he never thought there was anything wrong there. But you know, these things are dragging us down.
Mm-hmm.
And until we get a handle, we can't go, as Carl says, even though we lie to ourselves, we can't have the medical community being 20% of the GDP here. When every other country in the world, whether it's single payer or whatever, I mean, you look at somebody like AOC or the socialists on the Dem side, okay?
Yes.
But, okay, nobody wants that. Yet you can't fault AOC for saying, hey, look, we got this bastardized plan of some kind here, and it's 20% of the GDP, and we got, you know, 20% of the population is not even covered, and yet Sweden and these other places, it's 9% of the GDP or 10%. It looks to me like everybody's covered. I mean, tell me how well we're doing that we can't even look at this. I mean, they're at least seeing that. I don't like their solutions, any of them. But the fact is, it's pretty hard to not look at it and say, this is bleeped up.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree or not?
I think everything in a purely open society like we have is messy. And
do you think we're still open?
I think more when compared to a lot of other places.
Name me 5 businesses that are competitive.
No, I don't mean, I meant as far as like individual liberty freedoms. I wasn't talking about it from a business side. I was just more of, our government operates pretty much in the open. I like to believe that.
In some areas, it's probably very much in the open.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're still, I mean, the reason, and I don't want to go down this wormhole, but, I mean, the reason people are allowed to walk around and own a firearm is because we're a pretty open society. Relative to a lot of other places in the world. And I think when you have that and you have an awful lot of freedoms, you actually have somewhat of a messy society at times as well. In mainland China right now, you get a social score. If you cross against the light, they face recognize you and your social points go down.
Maybe you don't.
That's not an open society.
Walking across the street this morning,
saw
some guy blow by me. He had to be going 80. I don't know, 40
on Wells.
No, on what is Ida B. Wells? Whatever the old Eisenhower. I don't have a problem with that guy's name picture being up somewhere.
Yeah, but I mean, I think in an open society or a society where the way you operate your healthcare system or the way you operate a lot of businesses is not 95% dictated by the government. It might be 50% dictated. There's going to be, some creative destruction. How's that? In the healthcare area, that's a sensitive area for people, and it looks pretty bad.
I will ask you this question.
Mm-hmm.
And since you opened up the moral thing, I'll keep it down to the 2 minutes we have left before the break.
Okay.
My buddy John Lee, who's been a contributor to the show, very much a libertarian sort of dude. Business-wise, he had to move his family to Singapore.
Okay.
He's over there.
I've spent a lot of time there.
Okay. Okay. He and his wife were never into the porn that I know of, but all his movies he sent over there, he couldn't get them for 2 weeks because somebody had to watch them to make sure there was no porn in there or anything diversive, right? And for the first year, all he did was tell me about how he doesn't like reading newspapers that somebody had to read before him. Those kinds of things.
Yeah.
And then a year later he says, for 95% of your day, I am much freer here than I ever was in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
My kids take a cab at age 12. They get on a bus at 11.
Yeah.
They come home from their friends at 10 o'clock at night in a cab or on the bus. I never worry about them. Doesn't even cross my mind that somebody could be out there trying.
Oh no, 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 no! I know exactly what you're talking about too. It's
he says
you are safe, but you're watched.
Oh, I understand that.
Yeah,
and I'm saying he said, but for in terms of the things you're afraid of in Chicago, I mean, you're right, but the thing we haven't figured out here is the freedom of somebody to carry a gun and shoot somebody pretty much if he feels like it or feels threatened seems to supersede somebody's right to not get shot by somebody who maybe is winging bullets around. And I don't know that you can let that happen either. I don't know where that crosses, but you and I could take a drive to Inglewood, and you'll see all the people running around there gangbangers. But
I've been to Inglewood.
But we're going to see 5 or 6 houses on every block where people are still trying to live there.
Yeah.
That seem to have no rights.
Yeah.
Now, if I think they have a right to send their kid to the corner to get a thing of milk without getting shot. I don't know where those lines cross. Obviously, we don't as a society because we're still fighting about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have a right to go down to Dan Ryan without somebody shooting out of his car and hitting me.
Well, you like to believe that. You have a right to defend yourself if somebody does start shooting at you on the Ryan.
Right, but the solution isn't to have everybody shoot at everybody. I mean,
I know.
Anyway, when we come back last FR, we got to talk about this economics because you are a professor, and this is. I've heard people tell me on the show a couple weeks ago, Chief, you got to understand this is the new monetary theory. And I'm going to say there's no such thing as new monetary theory. It's the same thing. Money is money, and it always acts the same way. SP Futures now only down 39.75.
Only
this
down.
Is a bizarre world. NASDAQ Futures down 120. We're back almost as down as much as we were up yesterday, which I never would have dreamed today. We'll be right back. Stocks and Jocks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox. The Control Freak's Guide to Life, Money, and Probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and try to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, Give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Blowing up at Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Allen. He's Mr. Russell Roach. He's Jay-Z on the board. S&P futures are down 42.25. Last night I looked, we were down 1 point. If you would have said, what's your odds of down, walking in this morning, I'm down 42, I would have given you 10 to 1, probably.
You're supposed to say you traded it and you've made a fortune.
Yeah, well, I would have been a dude. Who's there at that 10 to 1? Dow futures down 396. Around the rest of the world, Europe, we've got DAX now down 237, it's over 2%, 2.02. FTSE down 93, 1.4. CAC around down 100, 1.9%. Asia was actually up, because they closed a while ago. Nikkei up 199, Shanghai up 11, Hang Seng up 20. Oil is, oil doesn't want to come up here. But natural gas is up 5 cents, RBOB gas down 4 cents. 169, I got gas 264 on Sunday in the burbs. Well, down now down $2, Russell. 198, 55.12. Brent down 15. Is it 59.42? Down 188. Get a load of this. The spread is only $4.29. That's the lowest since you and I have been doing the show in ever. The spread between Brent.
I think that's closer to the long term average, but it's been
8, 9, 10, 11 for for years. Gold last one. Gold up 990, 15.24. Silver up 18 cents. I cheaped out on a silver spread yesterday. I should have paid up a penny. What do you think? I mean, this stuff's going higher. It looks like. Jay-Z, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
Thanks, Chief. Morning, everyone. The time is now 7:36. Chicago weather today is mostly sunny with a high of 78, low of 66. Phoenix is clear and sunny with a high of 112 and a low of 82. In baseball, the White Sox lost to the Astros 6-2. The Cubs lost to the Phillies 4-2, and the Diamondbacks beat the Rockies 9-3. There are no accidents to report. Back to you.
Sox won the second game.
Yeah, Sox played two.
Yeah. Sorry, Jay-Z. I don't mean to call you out on that one, but
okay.
The Sox don't get enough love on this show.
Yeah.
Or anywhere else.
Yeah.
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 So,
and
me and my buddies are going to go to the parking lot up at Wrigley later on and slash some tires or something. Cub fans.
Speaking of which, where do you park? Where do you park down here?
Where did I park? I parked over at Franklin and Van Buren, that lot over there where a lot of the construction guys park.
300 South Franklin?
Yeah, I think that's about right. 400 South.
Sometime. Oh, you're 400? Okay.
Yeah, right across from the building where John's got a big condo that he uses as an office.
Because if you were at 300 South, I'd be worried about you sometimes.
Why? What happened there? Same thing?
Last night somebody busted out.
Oh, man.
Something like 50 rear windows.
Oh, my. Oh.
Of course, with all the cameras.
See, they needed a camera.
I bet they do. Nobody's watching them.
They totally need a camera. We were talking about the cameras that watch you all the time in different parts of the world.
In here. In here.
Yeah. So.
The solution
is
more
cameras. We need a webcam so people can see us live and what's and see the physical part behind the banter.
We sure about that?
And they might go back to sleep, but
yeah.
Okay. As
long as the camera stayed on Jay-Z, we'd be okay.
Yeah.
Just saying. so you are a new age economics teacher.
Sorta.
Well, but I mean you're teaching today, so that makes teaching modern
present.
Modern economic theory. Is there any difference between modern economic theory? By the way, before I ask you that, I got to go back to when you said earlier that the Congress is not doing their part with fiscal policy.
The fiscal side is not, when I say not doing their part, the fiscal side is not playing the long game, and that's what you really want, is a long game. They're playing the 2-year game. When you're only using the next 2 years to make sure you keep getting reelected, which, there's some people that are going to always be reelected automatically. Nancy Pelosi, the crazy grandma from the fun area of San Francisco. And AOC will probably be elected without any problems whatsoever. I think Nancy Pelosi even said that we could run a pencil and put a D next to their name in that district and they'd win. I think that was what they said.
But there's still
a big portion of them that are in borderline areas, and they gotta be able to either say, "Hey, look what I did for you in the last 2 years," or just make sure that anybody that pops up and runs against them doesn't have a huge argument for why things are so bad right now that you should vote for me instead
of
the person you're
used
here,
to. A few districts here in Illinois that would love to have an AOC just because they'd have somebody who they actually thought was alive in the job.
Oh, I know. I wasn't even sure who our guy is. My oldest, who you met, came up with a solution for plastic in the oceans, and she wanted to send our congressperson about it, and I wasn't even sure which one it was.
Well, I keep getting switched.
Mine was Bobby Rush for a while.
Which is scary.
My part of Hinsdale got gerrymandered into the Cook County part of Hinsdale, was gerrymandered into Bobby Rush. But that's now that we moved a little bit, like about a mile and a half west, we've got somebody different now, and I forgot who the guy
was
is.
Danny Davis for a while, and I hear from the man once in election.
Mm-hmm.
I would trade him for AOC in a second. At least I know my person's alive.
Well, the people in her district, actually, you do hear some grumblings because she's more concerned about what's going on in El Paso than in her district in New York. And
that's the problem, yeah.
Yeah. So if she were to get defeated, I think it would be because she's not paying attention to her own people.
Well, which means if they're passing out bridges that nobody needs, you better bring one back to your place.
There was an opportunity to bring a lot of jobs to her district, and she is very proud of shooting that one down.
Well, her view of the benefits of the Google thing versus what the people at Google in the city were selling it tell you, I'm almost saying her view might be more accurate.
I think there's a happy medium.
Yeah.
I do think it was going to cost New York something, but 10, 15 years down the road, I think the neighborhoods that they were going to move in that there's not a lot going on in would have been really nice for the people that could afford to live there. I think it would have been a net negative for a lot of people that live in that area now.
There's a medium here that if you trusted your people and you thought they had a brain cell working and not just a pocket that's accessible from the outside in, let's put it that way. I grump about this more than anybody, Russell, but if Google was going to, or anybody big, first of all, to me, it would be anybody. If you would say, I'd love to put a new office in this area in the South Loop here, which is the reason why it's not developed. I don't know that you know this or not, but if you look outside the window looking south in that area by Roosevelt Road, it looks like it's still grass in there or whatever, weeds.
Yeah.
There's a history to that that I don't know that you know. Not many people, I think, would, nor should they. That used to be the river.
Okay.
The river actually would bent in that spot all the way over by the railroad tracks where the Rock Island was. And then they decided, look, we're going to straighten out the river, and that way we can run LaSalle Street down here and other kinds of stuff. So they spent, I don't know how many years, digging a new channel for the river where it is now, okay, and then basically filled the other end. But none of the streets ever got elongated down.
They just stopped. Yeah.
So none of that area has, if you look in there, there's no fire hydrants. There's no water. There's no sewer. So anybody who tries to develop that area is really starting from square one. So, for instance, if somebody wanted to go, let's say down where the Robert Taylor's homes were and say, I'm going to put a big campus here for McDonald's, Google, someplace. There's all this empty property. It's right near Sox Park. It's not that far from the lake.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would be, if I was a mayor, I would say, okay, if there's going to be 30,000 people there, I've got no problem building you an L stop because I would for any 30,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
I would certainly make sure that if there needs a new pumping station, I'd do it if there were 20,000 homes going in here. Whatever it is, there's a infrastructure that you promise anybody that you should, of course, advance for people that are moving into an area, be it Google, be it you and me.
Right.
I mean, but the idea that, you know, all of a sudden it's telling, well, now you don't have to pay any city taxes, or your state taxes from your people go to you instead of the state. Now, that to me is another, I can't go there.
You don't think that when they basically had a property tax moratorium on the South Loop to get it built up 20 years ago, that wasn't a good thing now when you look down there? Compared to what was down there in the late 80s,
depends
early
on how,
90s?
Depends on how egregious it is. If somebody went somewhere else and could get the same deal, then the answer is, I mean, I seriously do argue to the point where a couple of people I was very aggravated with, which I don't normally get, like with the Cubs or the White Sox. Well, the Cubs bring all these people in, and they should get all this stuff. I said, fine, okay. Now, if there is a window that says if you bring people into the city or cause conventioners, seminar people, whatever it is, if there is a window and you could prove that X number of people come in because of your place, and they spend this much money, that there's a credit to you. Now, I don't believe that normally should happen, because to me it's like the human body. I mean, you can't say what's the old chart about who's going to be boss in the human body. And the heart said, well, you can't live without me, and then the brain says, you can't pump without, if I didn't tell you to pump. And then your bottom says, well, I want to be boss, and said, well, why would you want? Why do you think you're going to be boss? Well, then the bottom clamped up, the heart grew weak, the brain grew fuzzy, it ended up controlling the body, right? But, I mean, the idea that if you're big enough, that, in other words, PTI at one point when there were seminar people, three weeks a month, especially during the nice months, we would have 60 people here for 3 days. Not we, they would. We would make it so that they could do mock trading on the floor. We didn't provide any, you know, these guys are good seminar people. We just provided the infrastructure because we knew the people at the exchanges. So I'm going to say, why should I be able to go to the window and say there's 20 meals a person or 5 meals a week, 8 meals a week for 180 people, this many hotel rooms? Why can't I go to the window and say, all right, I brought you guys $1 million. I didn't get any of it, but I want my 50 grand just like you gave the Cubs. Oh, no, you're not big enough. You shouldn't get that. But I'm saying, if it's fair, I don't care. I'm all for it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But the idea that it's never fair, that one guy gets, I mean, the idea that in Peoria, the plant, I believe, is their state taxes are going to Caterpillar, that individual people in the plant, to me, that's too much. I mean, because I get this feeling, you know, and you can tell me I'm nuts, or Jay-Z, that if everybody has somebody has an advantage they shouldn't have, it means me and the people I care about are always paying more because of that. I mean, if you're, by the way, your iced coffee you just waddled in with?
Yes.
Thank you very much. You just paid a half a cent, what was that thing, $3. So I just paid a half a percent for that for White Sox Park.
And we appreciate that.
And we appreciate, Sox fans appreciate that. But
yeah, we greatly
every time
that.
Somebody gets a deal they shouldn't, other people have to pay. And I've just always been on the side of being the other person who has to pay. Now, if you ever put me on the other side, I might say, you know, bass boats for everybody. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? But I don't know of anybody who's ever been on the other side. And until I do, I just feel this way. What can I tell you?
No, I can totally sympathize with that. We appreciate your half cent.
Yeah.
So I actually, you got me on the tax thing, and something I came up with about a month ago that I wanted to share with you, and it just kind of dropped the ball until this very moment. Guess what the percent tax is on? I had to get a landline for the job that I have now in my house. Guess what the percent tax is on the land phone line that goes to the state of Illinois?
It's probably about. That doesn't include the 911 tax, does it?
No, it wasn't on there. No. There were four taxes added on to my $20 a month line. That took the price of the line up to $33.
When I had the phone with
it
my
was,
cable,
it was like 37%.
Okay, the phone on my cable. When you use the 911 tax and all the other stuff, $20.
Well, this phone's is $20 a month, but when you tag the taxes on, it comes to $33.
All right, I'm going to say that it was a
and it's all Illinois state taxes.
I'm going to say it's
four of them.
I'm going to say
four different ones.
Right. If you were in the
and
city,
I'm not getting the benefit of that. Yeah, I'm not in the city.
Uh-huh. I'm going to say that your add-on on your cable in the bundle might be $15 for the phone,
mm-hmm.
and I'm saying the tax was $20 because it's whatever the state charges.
Yeah,
add a 311 charge or 911 charge. Add a 311 charge. It was over $20.
311's the number you call when you're either too cold or too hot, right? Non-emergency.
It's
it's 311. I'm cold.
Well, if
bring
if
me a blanket.
If there's a street light out, that kind of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
I know. It's a non-emergency.
But anyway, to get back to rigorously dissing you.
The issue with going back to what you're talking about for the extra half a cent or whatever, you know, if we hadn't gotten that stadium, they would be the Tampa Bay White Sox right now. Now, you know, I know a lot of people will say, well, who cares? Nobody goes to the games, blah, blah, blah. But they, you know, the White Sox, I think they rank 20 out of 30th in out of the 30 teams in attendance, and they're not all that good right now. On years that things have been going a lot better, they do bump up that line. The Cubs are just in a completely different class of teams as far as being an amusement attraction, kind of like the Yankees and the Cardinals and the Red Sox, where they're just always going to be set above everybody
else.
Well,
there's two places but left. In my opinion, they're destination spots.
You know, there
are
benefits. And beyond that, I believe there's a pretty hefty tax that you pay to the state of Illinois when you buy a ticket to a Sox game.
Yes.
So, which goes into the coffers and then disappears.
Well, that's right. And disappears. But anyway, get back to, in case you ever get on national TV, mm-hmm. which you may, when you bring up your Congress hasn't done this stuff, you do realize that you're 100% opposed to what they're saying.
I know.
And they say the same thing. Their point is that we should have a $1 trillion infrastructure bill and that we should go deeper into debt and that fiscally Congress is not doing their part, even though they have a $1 trillion deficit now, which to mm-hmm. me is a pretty friggin' big deficit. And to me,
it's expanding
yes.
in a ridiculous rate. And what's going to end up happening is we're going to have to inflation our way out of that thing.
Which we've done. We're trying
It's going to be. We're doing it now, and it's not. It's painful, but not terribly painful. It's going to be a heck of a lot worse at some point. That's when I speak to the mindful mushes that I teach at Loyola, especially the freshmen. One of the ways I try to emphasize that inflation will happen again is that's how we're going to get rid of this nasty debt that we are leaving them with. And remember, the generation before me, they were leaving me the debt. Well, I'm just passing it on.
Except the last time there was inflation.
Uh-huh.
Well, I think there's inflation now. You and I can argue about that. But last time there was serious inflation, and I'm a little older than you, and I remember it.
The more. 70s.
That was my job at Pullman, was to do the inflation calculations and adjust everybody's bills because everybody became piggy move-up. Right? Well, it did.
I like that phrase.
Yeah.
Biggie move up.
Well, I mean, if the inflation was 2% that quarter and the bill was for $1 million, it became 1.02 times $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
And I did all the calculations based on the CPI and all that stuff. But so there was a method to it. But the difference there, is your mom and your dad unfortunately just passed. I'm sorry about that. They will remember that if the inflation rate was 12, they were able to get 14% in the bank.
Oh yeah.
So a saver was never really harmed.
You were the real return was still there.
Yes. Now that's not the case.
I know it's not.
And I'm going to say
especially because the inflation number they tell us is not what it really is.
It's not even close.
Yeah.
And I mean if you ask your students for them, actually I'm going to say for them the price of things in their life, if they go to ball games and if they eat out, that stuff's going to the moon.
Yeah,
but it's a very sneaky inflation.
Mm-hmm.
As my buddy Greg and I went to the Hollywood Grill Saturday for breakfast, there wasn't an omelet on the menu for less than $12.50.
Wow!
This is at basically a Greek restaurant, right?
Yeah, I was going to say we're not
talking about the Taj Mahal.
We're talking about those foo-foo places that all the pretty people wait in line for brunch on Sunday.
Where you should go there and just watch all the people in line, and when it's your turn, you leave.
Yeah.
Remember the lingerie barber shop they had to make it near the trading floor years and years ago?
Well, they kind of replicated it just down the street from here on Van Buren.
Well, this one, the guys would go wait in line.
I totally remember that.
It was their turn to go to the barber chair. They would head out. They wouldn't get air.
Poor guys at the SIBO. Yeah. They were the barbershop at the SIBO, which seems to have a lot of fun stuff going on at. They thought they might be doomed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They weren't.
Not a young in there. But the... what were we talking about?
I don't know. You're hung up on the line. You're hung up on the girl in the second chair at the... lingerie... Child.
Whatever, but I actually never went over there. I never left the floor during the day. I never got any of this lunch stuff. I never participated in. I never was anywhere at 12 o'clock except my spot in the pit. I guess what I'm saying is with the fiscal part is right now they think we're not throwing enough money at it, not less. And
I know, and that's just wrong for the long term.
But if you look at your people, we only got a minute. What I'm saying is the $12.50 omelet. Uh-huh. I went to the Restaurant Depot. I got 12 dozen jumbo eggs. I mean, because I give them out to people and I bring them to work. Guess how much? 12 dozen.
12 dozen.
Yep.
$15.
Six.
Six? Six?
50 cents a dozen.
At the Restaurant Depot?
Yeah.
How are you able to go into the Restaurant Depot?
I got guys.
Okay. Of course you do.
Of course I do. You got guys. And, the money, when you eat that omelet, it's probably costing them maybe a buck.
Yeah,
most.
The labor is probably the labor and the health insurance. There's probably more health insurance costs than
that. It is taxes, it's lease, it's electric bill, gas bill.
Yeah.
The spread between what you're actually eating and what is never been higher. And that's a problem in the industry.
Well, I got a very important question, and we've got a few seconds left. So if you've got a guy, then now do I have a guy?
If you want one, I can get you one.
Awesome.
You might be known as the Triple E Tap.
Okay.
All right. S&P futures down 39.50. NASDAQ futures down 116.50. You should see the guys walking out of there with
I can only imagine.
Carts and carts of steaks and potatoes. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Dow futures down 380. I can't believe we're going to give up all of yesterday, but right now it looks like we got a fair chance. This is crazy.
It's early.
It is. Russell, thank you. We might be a tweet away from being up. Who knows? We'll be right back tomorrow. Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727.